I do want to just say what a joy it is to be with Dr. A and Debbie and just how much they have meant to me. He just read some of the bio, but I do want to give props because this meeting that he and I met at, I had a word from the Lord. Sometimes you just get a word from the Lord and you got to go because you aren't sure what God has an intersection for you about. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I know our church is not really in a position right now for me to head, but I mean, it's a strong witness. I got to go. And I was thinking to myself, why? Why am I going to this meeting in San Antonio? And went down and ended up, the first person I met was Dr. A. We sat at a table, and quite honestly, the next person I met was Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's daughter. And when I met her, I thought, she's probably the reason I'm here, because I have been praying for years to meet Billy and to have him pray over me. And I thought, oh man, this is awesome. The more I talked with her, the more I enjoyed her. She was amazing, but I thought, she's not why I'm here. And the more I talked to Dr. A, I'm like, oh, he's the reason I'm here. And we talked a little bit more and a little bit more. And so at the end, I said, hey, would you come guest speak for me at my church? He came, and he brought with him one of his associates from his practice, and there was a significant meeting, so I thought, shoot, I'm going to reach out to all the therapists in the area in Kansas City. I'm going to invite them to come and to meet in a meet and greet Dr. A. And so we had several that replied and wanted to come. And as a result of that, I met a therapist in town in the green room who then invited me to an event down at Union Station, who then invited me to be a part of the International Institute of Trauma and Addiction Professionals. And I'm like, y'all are going to laugh at this. I don't even have a degree. I don't even have a bachelor's degree. I went to a non-accredited Bible college, which I'm grateful for, but I didn't have any of it. And the more Dr. A and I talked, he had invited me to come speak to his clinicians in Baltimore, and he generally was wanting me to give some different perspectives on how to help clients who are struggling with the God paradigm of, is God against me? Is God punishing me? Is God abandoned me? And what maybe I would have to offer that. So it was purely on theological grounds, but I came back to the International Institute of Trauma and Addiction Professionals, and this whole program is with psychologists, psychiatrists. There's therapists that are just cram-packed in there, and I said to them, I said, here's the deal. If I can go speak to a chain of clinicians in Baltimore, maybe you could just trust me. They actually came back. This is such a God thing. They came back and scholarshiped me. What ultimately would have cost me around 20 grand, I got for free. And all of that was catalyzed by Dr. A meeting him in San Antonio around a burrito. So, praise the Lord, right? Isn't that cool? So the affections I have for him, and then later got to meet Debbie, and they are just two of the most special people, and you all are tremendously honored and privileged to have them at the helm. Well, amen. Well, let's pray, and then I want to share with you some things that I believe God has on my heart for you, and let's trust Him that God will manifest Himself on your heart, on your mind, in your life, and that this isn't just a routine lecture. This is an opportunity for God to give utterance, for God to give revelation, for God to change our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask you, as we are wholly, fully dependent on you, for divine interchanges, for there to be revelation, knowledge that doesn't come by flesh and blood, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. We thank you that you have access to our hearts to open us up, to touch us, to change us. This is a pivotal moment. God, we don't take it for granted. We believe you're the author and you're the finisher. You who have begun a good work in us will complete it, even the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this in faith, in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed with that said, amen. Amen. Well, as I get ready to launch into some things that I think are going to be very relevant to where you live and what you think, I'd like you just to bow your heads again and shut your eyes and just be present. Just be present in this moment. And I wonder, what do you long for today? What do you long for today? I'm talking about there's something, and you may be immediately drifting into the grandiose. So I long for this grandiose thing or that grandiose thing. Let's bring it little by little back down into the very core of who you are. What is it that you long for today? What is it? And then, as you're sitting there, eyes shut, heart present, how does this longing feel right now? How does it feel? What do you dream of today? What are your dreams in this moment? What's your dreams for later today? What is your dream for 5 years from now? What is your dream for life? And again, how does that make you feel right now? Are there feelings associated with that dream or feelings associated with the thing that you're longing for that feels like you're missing it? It's not present, but I long for it. I miss it. I wish I had it. And it's something that I know will satisfy something in me. What disruptions, irritations, anxieties, any emotional dysregulation? What has already happened today? Maybe you got up and you were realizing you were in a tight schedule and you went to get something to eat and they didn't have what you wanted and somebody else said something, did something. You had a memory prompted of somebody else and what they said. And some of it can even go back on a subconscious level down into your childhood. And in those moments, you are experiencing these disruptions, these irritations, these anxieties. Now, if you would, just as you're sitting there, eyes shut, heart present, scan for any of the following. Scan. Are you aware? I mean, you know what it's like to drive for an hour down the interstate, and when you get to where you're going, not have any recall of anything on the interstate that you saw. In life, we often live moment by moment, fast, 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 and don't ever slow down to acknowledge what is going on the inside of us. Scan for these things. Scan for power, even a desire for power, a longing, a dream, without judgment, without criticizing yourself, without asking whether this is holy or unholy at this moment. That'll come later. But power. Maybe you long or dream for connection. Connection with a person or a group of people where there's no judgment, there's no hassles, there's no frustrations. It's just to be loved purely and absolutely, and you desire it, you dream it, you long it. And when you don't have it, and you think, just think that you don't have it, causes maybe a disruption, an irritation, an anxiety. Maybe you long for simple engagement. Connection will come later, but just an engagement. Maybe you long for attunement, somebody who feels you, sees you, searches you, grabs you in your deepest being, and is pleasant to you. Maybe you long for someone to be responsive, or to just feel an overwhelming belonging. I belong. Safety. Comfort. Intimacy. Into me you see. Intimacy. Maybe you long for fulfillment. I mean, you've been working. You've been trying. You've been giving effort. You would love to enjoy just moments of fulfillment. Celebration. To actually acknowledge things around you without pushing further, without trying harder. Just the celebration. Think of what that feels like. Maybe for you it's value. You desire to feel, you long for, you dream of, that you bring value without doing anything. And then when you do something, it's an expression of the value that is in you. You long for this value, and then you long to be able to empower all of those around you with value. Maybe excitement. Excitement. You long for some excitement. You long to feel something because you've numbed. Maybe you long or dream or desire repair. Somewhere down the line, somebody, several people, and maybe there's stacking going on where it's one on top of another on top of another. And for you, you just have longed for repair and don't know how to even get it. You long maybe to be chosen. Where no longer are you just a person that's with everyone, but you are chosen. Maybe you long to be blessed. And blessed here is an internal reality. It is where there's life and it's vibrancy and it's prosperity of the soul, and you just want to be blessed. You want to be affirmed and understood. Just to be understood. To be included. To be touched safely, kindly, powerfully, affectionately. It's amazing in these 20 things what we might feel. So again, I ask you, as your eyes are shut and heads bowed, what is it that you are longing for today? How does that longing feel right now? What do you dream of today? How does it make you feel right now? Maybe positive, desirable feelings. It may be negative. And so you can look up now. You may be wondering, why did we do that? Why did we go through that exercise? Because your entire year you have been focusing on Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14, right? And notice that I'll read it. I believe it's on the screen. I think, did you guys get my slides, by the way? There it is. For thus says the Lord, even after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word to you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. And then this, you will search for me with all your heart. You'll search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Dr. A asked me to consider sharing my heart from this verse for the year. I began to meditate, began to go in about 100 different directions, if you can only imagine. And this phrase in verse 13, you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart. To search for God with all your heart. You have an invitation to search for God with all your heart. So we have to ask some deeper questions. God, if you're inviting me to search you with all my heart, what is my heart? What is my heart that I search you with? Does it just mean that I give better effort? Just mean that every now and again I think of something? Does it mean that I feel something? Does it mean that I see something? What does it mean? That if I am with all my heart going to seek the Lord, and this is predicated on me being able to find Him, enjoy Him, and experience Him. And understand that a relationship is always experiential. A relationship is never just pragmatic. It is something that you experience. This means you have to enter into the sensations of it. Every relationship is experiential. What if I told you that I have a relationship with Bill Gates? We've never met. I've never talked to him. I've never even sent him an email. But I have a relationship with him. You'd be like, yeah, and you have a fantasy relationship as well in your mind about actually knowing people. With God, we are to have an experience with God. But sometimes whenever we think of experience, we think external. We use what's called exteroception. We are looking outside our skin for anything in the environment and to experience God. But when God tells us that if we could search, this is an intelligible, this is an intentional approach to actually encountering God, not in dynamic, spectacular ways, but in God, whatever way that is where I can encounter you, where I can know you, where my heart can be filled with you. But again, when I ask the question, when my heart can be filled, what is the heart? What is the heart? And I think we have to ask the question from Scripture, and we have Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. He says, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And the circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. So notice, inwardly, heart, spirit, they're all used synonymously. Then in 1 Peter 3, 4, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So both of these tell us there is an inward man and there is an outward man. And the inward man is actually something that has at least relationship with whatever this thing is that we call the heart. So let's look at what the inward man is. And so in Romans 7:22, he says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I, inward man. So I am the inward man. When you shake my hands, hug my neck, when you talk to me face to face, I am not this body. This body is something that I live in. I am an immaterial spirit soul. I have faculties. I have capacities. to experience God in ways that many people have driven for an hour on the interstate and they have never even noticed. So when we look at scriptures like, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, he's talking about this is the depths of who I am. 2 Corinthians 4:16, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, I just want to say, because I'm going to get into a couple of other thoughts here, that when it comes to the outward man perishing and the inward man being renewed, why would your inward man need to be renewed? Because all through the day, it is being vexed, it is being tormented, it is being damaged, it is being diminished, and it requires a renewal, a restoration. When we consider these kind of scriptures, we see that, whoop, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. But man, God's all over that guy. I didn't know that lip was there. 2 Corinthians 5, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, the real, genuine you. Now, I've got a quick set of things, and I'm going to hustle here, but the next slide shows you two views of this inward man. On the left is the dichotomous view. Now, don't get bogged down with all the theological terminology, but it's valuable to you to at least understand the concept. That fundamentally, there are two views within Christianity, the dichotomous view of human makeup and the trichotomous. In the dichotomous view, you are a soul. One of the faculties in the soul, in the dichotomous view, is your spirit. And the spirit of a person is where the Holy Spirit resides. It is where there is divine resurrection power coming out of you. It is where there is the capacity for God in you to be intimate. Now, both believe what I just said. In the dichotomous or the trichotomous, the only difference is that in the dichotomous, they believe that the spirit is in the soul as one of the faculties with the other faculties of mental, emotional, sensory, social, and volitional capacities. But the trichotomous view separates the spirit out and begins to say that the spirit is a third part. The soul then has these other faculties, and then you have the body. Now, the reason that I show you this graphic is whether you are a dichotomous or a trichotomous is really incidental. What's important for you to know is that your spirit is what animates your soul in either view. Your spirit is what animates, energizes, gives life to your soul. Your soul has these faculties of mental, the mental faculties of being able to think, to being able to remember, to being able to organize different systematic thoughts, for you to understand. All of these, get this, these are in your soul, your immaterial, non-physical soul. Now, as an example, I had a few years ago a heart attack, and I was in a coma for 5 days. And they didn't think I would live. And thank God my wife is a Jesus Holy Spirit lady, and she wouldn't let me die. Which I was just, when I woke up and I'm there, I'm realizing what all happened. I'm like, you love me, don't you? You love me. You wanted me here. And she, declaring the word over me, speaking life, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in us and quickens our mortal body. And in that whole space, I come back and come alive. And come, you know, there was no functions in my brain for 5 days, and everything had shut down. Again, they didn't necessarily think I would live. Of course, you know, nobody in the ICU is going to say that you're not going to live, but I did have a plant in there who's in my church who was in ICU as a professional, and he's telling me what everybody's thinking afterwards. They thought I'd die. Well, when I woke up and came to consciousness, a lot of my memory files were missing. So what do you do when your memory files are missing? The first thing you do is recognize that your memory is not in your brain. Your memory is in your soul, and your soul can animate your brain. And where I have dead neurons, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he quickens my mortal body. He brings it to life in Jesus' name. And so I began to declare. I mean, I have bunches of declarations of the word. I declare what God says about my mind and my brain. The reason that's important is because whether it's mental or emotional, all of your emotions are in your immaterial soul. We went through that exercise a minute ago, and as we were thinking about what do you long for, what irritates you, now what you need to know is all of that is happening in your immaterial soul. It is not happening in your brain and body. Now, did I have your attention? It is happening in your brain and body as a representation of your soul. The holistic union between your inner person and your body is causing the brain to even function. You take the immaterial spirit soul out of the body, you don't have any functions in your brain. This is so close and cohesive. And so, just because I've got just a few more minutes, let me just cut to a few punches. Every single time that you are experiencing emotional dysregulation, y'all ever wake up and you're just irritated? Come on now. You ever begin to feel, and what this is called is affect, you have feelings on the inside, and you may not know this, but even physical sciences will tell you that when you feel, then what you end up immediately subconsciously doing is making meaning of what you're feeling. And so when you wake up irritated, then you think, I'm irritated. I wonder why I'm feeling irritated. And then you begin to grab memories from your past of any time you were ever irritated, which there are bunches, and then you begin to build a predictive schema, a predictive simulation of what is irritating you, and then you're getting ready, you're sitting there and you're thinking, that kind of ticks me off. I think I'm irritated because I just feel alone. Nobody loves me. I mean, I work so hard. Nobody understands me. Nobody cares about me. I just want you to know, all of that is happening down in your soul. It's representing itself in your brain and body. When you're experiencing, now, I was praying over you all today, and I was thinking about my calling. I knew I was called to preach when I was 16 and arranged everything in my life to go preach from there all the way to today. And I remember my mom and dad were in a divorce cycle, and my dad was not present with the things going on in my biological development. And I'm a young man. I got, on a physical level, a lot of hormones. And I love Jesus with all my heart. And nobody to help me navigate that. Let me just say, when it comes to sexual arousal equal to emotional arousal, you are activated in your sexual arousal not by the things you think you are. There is disruption in your soul. It could be like when it speaks of Lot in 1 Peter, he says the things he saw and heard vexed his righteous soul. When you're scrolling through doom, scrolling on social media, and then you get image after image after image, each image has the ability to minimize or even damage or cause your soul to enter into a longing. And then when you have a longing, you begin to project into your future of what is it I got to do? What's the prediction simulation I need to apply here based on my past and what I've done? So your brain and body begins to think dopaminergic language and thinks, well, in the past, what you did to get a dopamine hit is you went and fill in the blank. And that's what I need right now. No, listen. What you need right now is for the shepherd and the bishop of your soul to restore your soul. When young men and women are trying to fight the sexual battle by simply addressing the sexual giants in their life, and they're just thinking about, oh, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do it. Listen, you're not dealing with the root issue. The root issue is there is a barrage going on against you, a war, Scripture says, against your soul. And that war is activating. I mean, you may not realize it, but when you are even watching a sports event and it's tight and the game's going back and forth and it's your team and you want to win bad and you're all caught up in it, men can tell you who are married, maybe otherwise, but married men can tell you that when that excitement gets at that level and there is intensity and there is yelling and shouting, there is a corollary experience of sexual arousal. Isn't that amazing? Now, what happens if you are thinking to yourself, I'm sexually aroused, which you are, even as a godly Christian, sometimes will feel, not know that, wow, this could be because I had a ding. Y'all ever had somebody open their car door next to your car and ding the side of your car? Sometimes your soul gets some dings. And when you have those dings in your soul, all of a sudden it's going to cause you to begin to feel, and you don't have conscious awareness, that I'm longing for something. And what the promise of inordinate behavior is that it will satisfy my soul. But how many of you know, without a raise of hand, how many of you know that any external behavior does not satisfy the soul? So what if we went to the Lord without judgment and said, Lord, I'm just noticing stuff going on in my soul. I'm noticing longings. I'm noticing things that I think is going to satisfy me, but it's just like whenever filthy lucre is promising you the world and it is a god that people worship because it's taking the place of Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who is your provider, and rather than look to it, say, Lord, I know that there's some things that are disrupted, dysregulated. Lord, I'm asking you to meet me in the depths of my soul. And this is a prayer that, and again, for the sake of time, I'm kind of going simplistic, but get it. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, search my heart. Know my heart and all of the faculties that is in the deepest regions of my soul. The heart is the deepest regions of your soul. I want you, God. You are the bishop, the inspector, and the shepherd. Without judgment, without condemnation, without contempt towards me, you are my shepherd. You're protecting me. So, Lord, I'm not going to face the giant. I'm going to face you as my shepherd. And you as my shepherd, you're going to deal with all of the predators that are around me. But, Lord, I've got to keep my heart, my soul, before you in restored states where peace that passes all understanding. So there's no fragmentation anymore. There isn't any scattering. There isn't all of this activity happening around my soul. But Lord, deep within my soul, I've come to you as the one who is the Lord my peace. You're the one who brings every fragment together and makes wholeness. Lord Jesus, this is our prayer right now. We come before you and ask you to satisfy our souls. God, the number of young people that I have had the privilege to be with and around who have struggled with this divided flesh and spirit war and haven't known how to handle it. And because of it, over time, they've lost hope. Lord, I'm asking you to reveal yourself to everyone in this room as the shepherd of our soul, the one who is present with what's going on in us way before there is any consideration of what's going on around us. Thank you that you said whatever is born of God, there is an internal, whatever is born of God overcomes this world. The issue is not focusing on all the world and its happenings. It's to focus in on you as the restorer of our soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.